world and everything in it is made possible by listeners like us. I'm Bruce Lamar, and I reside in Northeast Florida with my wife of 40-plus years, Jean. We serve actively in our local church and anxiously anticipate each morning's edition. We hope you enjoy today's program.
Good morning. The scriptures encourage us to be thankful in all things, both good and bad. We'll talk about it with John Stone Street.
That's ahead on Culture Friday. Also today, resources to help the whole family prepare to celebrate Christmas.
Elizabeth told me that John is a special baby and that you would tell me why. Zechariah laughed.
Oh, she did she? Well, then, I guess I must tell my story yet again.
Plus, your listener feedback and the first in our series on the music of Advent.
Friday, November 26th. This is The World and Everything in It from listener-supported World Radio. I'm Myrna Brown.
And I'm Nick Eicher.
Up next, Ken Covington has today's news.
The head of the United Nations agency that oversees nuclear inspections in Iran is sounding alarms this week about Tehran's refusal to cooperate. Rafael Grossi is director general of the IAEA, that is the International Atomic Energy Agency.
Such a long period of time without us getting access, knowing whether there are operational activities ongoing, is something that would at some point prevent me from continuing to say that I have an idea of what is going on.
Inspectors remain unable to access surveillance footage as Iran is rapidly stockpiling highly enriched uranium, bringing them closer to a nuclear weapon. Grossi traveled to Tehran this week in hopes of talking Iranian leaders into allowing greater access to nuclear facilities, but he went home empty-handed. Some world leaders are preparing for a fresh round of talks with Iran in hopes of renewing the 2015 nuclear deal. President Biden this week announced his picks to lead the Office of Management and Budget. For the top job, Biden named acting OMB Director Shalonda Young.
In her 8 months as acting director of OMB, she's continued to impress me and congressional leaders as well. Shalonda will not only be tremendously qualified director, she'll also be historic director, the first black woman to hold the post.
He's also nominated Nani Coloretti as deputy director. Both nominees must win Senate confirmation. Biden turned to Shalonda Young after lawmakers on both sides of the aisle pushed back against his first pick, Neera Tanden. She ultimately withdrew from consideration. The Senate confirmed Young as deputy director back in March with backing from more than a dozen Republicans. Boston Celtics center Enes Kanter is calling out the NBA for moral double standards as it pertains to China. For several years, the NBA has selectively spoken out on social causes. In 2016, the league pulled the All-Star Game out of North Carolina over the state's so-called bathroom law, which LGBT activists strongly opposed. And last year, the league printed Black Lives Matter on a court when it resumed play during the pandemic. But Kanter said this week that on China's human rights abuses, the NBA remains silent.
When it comes to, you know, just America, they love to criticize. But the things that they criticize affects their money or their business or their endorsement deal, they remain silent. This is being very phony.
In 2019, the NBA apologized to the Chinese Communist government for remarks by Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey. That after Morey voiced support for freedom and democracy in Hong Kong, angering officials in Beijing. China has become a highly lucrative market for the league. In 2019, the Sports Business Journal valued the NBA's business in China at more than $5 billion. It seems almost everything costs more right now, and Christmas trees are no exception. World's Josh Schumacher has more.
Experts say you'll likely pay anywhere from 10 to 30% more for your tree this year, whether live or artificial. And you'll likely have fewer trees to choose from. With regard to live trees, labor shortages are a factor. Demand has also been up over the past few years, and believe it or not, Christmas tree buyers are still feeling the effects of the 2009 recession. Many farmers planted fewer trees 4 years after the Great Recession, and it takes roughly a decade for trees to reach maturity. When it comes to artificial trees, no surprise here, shipments are being slowed by the same nationwide supply chain problems affecting almost everything else. Reporting for World, I'm Josh Schumacher.
The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade returned yesterday with all the trimmings, including a live audience, after COVID-19 kept crowds at home last year. Among the new floats this Thanksgiving, Grogu, also known as Baby Yoda from the Star Wars show The Mandalorian. The balloons, floats, and marching bands once again rolled through 2.5 miles of Manhattan streets. Last year, the parade was confined to one block, and some portions were pre-taped. Parade staffers and volunteers had to be vaccinated against COVID-19, but there was no vaccination requirement for spectators. I'm Kent Covington, and straight ahead, God's call to be thankful in all things, plus the music of Advent. This is The World and Everything in It.
It's Friday, November 26th. This is The World and Everything in It from listener-supported World Radio. Good morning. I'm Myrna Brown.
And I'm Nick Eicher. It's Culture Friday and time to say good morning to John Stone Street. John is president of the Colson Center and host of the Breakpoint podcast. Hey there, John.
Good morning.
Well, on this day after Thanksgiving, John, now we're all in a sort of a reflective mood. I'm reminded that the scriptures call us not so much to be thankful for things as much as to be thankful in. In other words, as we would read in 1 Thessalonians, in everything give thanks. So by everything, that would encompass what we regard as good and what we would regard as not so good or even tragic or terrible, that in even those things, both good and bad, we are to give thanks. So what I will do is ask you to cover both sides of that, John, and begin a bit easily by giving thanks in the good things. And for you, what would they be this year?
I guess the obligatory answer is my family, but I really am. I mean, I'm watching 3 girls grow to become young women. I'm watching God work in all of their hearts in very unique, distinct, and obvious ways, not least of which is through the introduction 4 years ago of their little brother, who simultaneously makes their lives both joyful and miserable, as good little brothers are supposed to do. And he's learning how to do that. I'm watching him learn. I'm watching light bulbs come on, his vocabulary expand. I'm watching how God grows my wife and me as we learn what it means to parent in new stages of life, new challenges. Driving in Colorado, for example, where there's too many people on the roads and too much pot in the air. But it's just fun to watch these new stages, and I am really, really grateful for that. And so it's not just an obligatory thing. They're really in very specific and unique ways this year. You see God's faithfulness, not only to me, but to the people that I love. And so that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, me too. John, draw that out to the wider culture, though, sort of beyond the good functioning of the Stone Street culture, for which we can be grateful. What positives in the larger culture can you be thankful in?
You're not going to allow me to be narcissistic, huh? we can't just focus in on my own family. Nope. Well, let me make a connection then. I did a commentary this past week on a curious and tragically sad story that points to something good. And I say that in quotes and uncertainty, but it has to do with Emily Ratajkowski, who is a famous model whose career started when she starred in a terrible music video that was basically a justification of sexual assault and sexual harassment. And you think about where the culture was in 2013 and the victimization of young women. And as a dad of 3 little girls, so I'm going to make this a little bit personal and a little bit cultural. But that was completely normal back then. And, You know, it's hard when culture learns its lesson kind of by means of gravity. In other words, it jumps off the roof and then hits the ground really hard. But that is the feature of the Me Too movement. And there are ways in which we justify the abuse and objectification of women. Just yesterday, culturally speaking, that we don't allow anymore today. At least somebody like her can step up and say, you know what? What happened to me wasn't okay. And she admitted partial responsibility, but also admitted that what happened to her wasn't okay. And we have a culture now that listens. And there was this moment in time, right, a few years ago when that happened. You know, Hugh Hefner died and we celebrated him as a hero of women's liberation. And 3 months later, we were arresting Harvey Weinstein. So now here we are 5 years after that. And we see some of these things that have really changed. And you know, it's hard when culture learns a lesson that way. It's brutal, but it's a better culture that's learned that lesson than one that hasn't.
So, and moving on to number two here, John, this is probably the easier of the two-pronged question, the negative, because there's so much of it from which to choose. Would you describe how you're thankful in the things that you regard as not so good?
You know, I read back to stories of people who have given their lives for Christ in very real and tangible ways, either physically, biologically, socially, political freedom or whatever. I think, as I said before, the greatest contribution of Rod Dreher's latest book, Live Not by Lies, are these stories of faith, Christian faithfulness in culturally difficult times of persecution under the communist era. And you think about these names and you say, these people gave thanks for the privilege of sharing in Christ's sufferings. Now, we don't have any idea what that's like today. We have a better idea this year what it's like than last year. Our friends Baronelle Stutzman and Jack Phillips have a better idea about what that's like than what we do. And we're instructed to give thanks for that privilege. I would never wish that on anyone, even my enemies, much less my friends like Baronelle and Jack. But boy, they've done us a great service. I'm thankful for their example. And if this is where we're headed, and I don't know what that means, but if we're headed more into that way of being Christian than what we've been used to, then we're to give thanks and we join the ranks of Christians who have gone before us.
So, John, I'm so glad you mentioned Baronelle Stutzman. I believe I heard a collective sigh of relief earlier this week when it was announced that 77-year-old grandmother and florist was ending her religious liberty case. And this, of course, was the nearly decade-old case of Stutzman versus the state of Washington and the American Civil Liberties Union. And of course, you know, for those unfamiliar with the story, Stutzman was sued by that state's attorney general in 2014 for refusing to create a floral arrangement for her friend's wedding to another man because of her Christian beliefs about marriage. John, we've, as you mentioned, we're thankful for people like her. I think we've come to rely on her courage and the groundwork laid by Stutzman and Jack Phillips, as you mentioned, and most recently web designer Lori Smith. But at some point, it could be our names or our adult children's names in the headlines. I think about that song, that hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers, you know. But I wonder, are we as Christians ready to pick up the baton? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, this is what we will know in the days ahead. In one sense, it was a sigh of relief because Baronelle Stutzman faithfully lived out her convictions for as long as she was called to do it. And for some reason, the ACLU's deal was $5,000. I don't know if they realized that they were being bullies. I don't know if the optics were bad for their causes, you know, to try to collect from this poor woman that they had bullied now for 8 or 9 years. I don't know. I don't know what was behind that. I know that Baronelle was faithful, and we owe her a debt of gratitude. We owe ADF. We owe God gratitude for giving us this example of what the rest of us might be called to. I hope everyone, by the way, goes to the World Opinion page and reads the piece that was done by Baronel's longtime attorney, Kristen Wagoner from the Alliance Defending Freedom, about this decision. Because I did a Breakpoint commentary and then I read Kristen's piece and I was like, man, she did so much better than I did. But read that piece, because there's a real sense there of a calling for the rest of us. This isn't over. Baronel is a hero and we're grateful. I am pleased, by the way, I don't know if this is an appropriate time to announce this, but about a month ago, our board at the Colson Center determined that Baronel Stutzman and Jack Phillips would be co-recipients in 2022 of the William Wilberforce Award, an award founded by Chuck Colson to celebrate and honor public faith that is a reflection both of a personal commitment to Christ and living out the sort of public implications that faith requires. In times past, that looked a lot more like Wilberforce, you know, standing in front of Parliament or standing in front of injustice and leading the way. I think increasingly it's going to look in our time and place more like courage in the face of incredible struggle. And so I hope we're ready. That's why we're honoring Jack and Baronel, because they've shown us the sort of lives that we have in front of us. No matter what happens, faithfulness is what this is about, not success. Baronel is such a wonderful example of that for the rest of us, and I'm grateful for her.
Indeed. Well, John Stone Street is president of the Colson Center and host of the Breakpoint podcast. John, thank you.
Thank you both.
Additional support comes from North Greenville University. Christ-centered academic excellence begins at ngu.edu. From Samaritan Ministries, a healthcare sharing ministry. It's affordable, there are no networks, and you can join today. More at samaritanministries.org/worldpodcast. And from the Ambassadors Impact Network, a group of faith-driven investors who finance private companies led by gospel-advancing entrepreneurs. More at ambassadorsimpact.com.
Today is Friday, November 26th. Thank you for turning to World Radio to help start your day. Good morning. I'm Myrna Brown.
And I'm Nick Eicher. Encouraging you, if you have never given before to support World, would you make a first-time gift this month? Every little bit helps, and seriously, every little bit. And because of some longtime donors, everything you do, whatever it is, they'll do too, with a dollar-for-dollar match. The goal is $40,000. We've not hit that just yet, so some other friends stepped in with another incentive. If by the end of this month we hit that goal, these friends will kick in an extra $10,000 on top, just to give one more reason for you to get involved for the first time.
Yes, so please visit wng.org/donate and make a first-time gift today. You see, we have today, then the weekend, and just Monday and Tuesday to make the goal. So do it today, would you? WNG.org/donate. I'd be grateful. Well, coming next on The World and Everything in It, resources for Advent.
Yeah, it's so easy to lose sight of Christ at Christmas with all of the shopping, gatherings, and special events going on. So reviewer Emily Witten has rounded up some resources to help you and your family stay focused on Him and make the most of this Christmas season.
Christians already know that Christ is the best gift of all at Christmas. So why not focus more on Him this year? One easy way to do that, download a free devotional app. Moody Bible Institute's Today in the Word app offers a daily series beginning December 1st. It's called Unwrapped, the Gift of Christmas. Author Ryan Cook is an associate professor of Bible at Moody Bible Institute, and he says his family often unwraps their under-the-tree gifts slowly, savoring them one by one.
And that's kind of what I hope this study does for people, is it helps us to slow down and really reflect on all of the different gifts that we've received in the coming of Christ, and really appreciate all that God has done for us.
If you're on the go, maybe headed to work or school, check out the app's option to have the 2-minute devotion read aloud.
Today in the Word, we read in Micah 6, verse 9, the Lord is calling to the city.
The Today in the Word app provides devotions year-round. So if you like this series, you'll already be one step closer to a healthy habit in the new year. And keep in mind, if you just really don't want another app cluttering up your phone, you can get the same devotional content in several other formats at todayintheword.org. Now, if you've got little ones underfoot, you might check out truthinthetinsel.com. Author Amanda White offers an ebook of simple ornaments and Bible links to help families engage the Christmas story. These aren't upscale Jesse Tree keepsakes that will last forever. The focus here is on the experience, the memories, and the fun, not the cheap craft materials. Here's what one mom had to say about Truth in the Tinsel.
It is an easy way that's already set up for me to sit down and talk to my kids about the Christmas story every single day in Advent until it's just, you know, drilled into their minds. So
if you've got older kids or grandkids around the house, say 8 to 12, Jotham's Journey might be a good resource. It's a gripping fictional story of a Hebrew boy named Jotham who lived during the time of Christ's birth. Jotham gets separated from his family, and the rest of the book follows his action-packed but also heartwarming journey to find them. Here's a clip from the audiobook read by Kirby Hayborn.
Elizabeth told me that John is a special baby, and that you would tell me why. Zechariah laughed.
Oh, she did she? Well, then, I guess I must tell my story yet again.
He motioned for Jotham to sit on a log, then did the same himself.
I am a priest of the division of Abijah. About a year ago, my division was on duty in the temple in Jerusalem, and I was chosen by lot to enter the holy place to burn the incense before the Lord.
The story is helpfully divided into daily sections, followed by short reflections and scripture passages, as well as instructions about which Advent candles to light. You could use it as a daily Advent resource, or this would be a great option for a long car trip. The entire audiobook is 5 hours and 45 minutes long, so that'll get you quite a ways down the road. Two quick cautions. It might be useful to point out to young listeners that while many characters and places do come from history, Jotham's story is imagined, so some of these encounters don't really line up with scripture. My other caution, in chapter 22, the author mentions that God, quote, accepts all people wherever they are in their own spiritual journey, unquote. And parents may want to clarify that while God does save people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, we know that salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And finally, how about some Advent music?
Well, it came to pass back in those days, the Caesar he decreed, the census should be taken of the Roman world, you see. So everyone packed up and headed back to their hometown. Joseph up from Galilee to Bethlehem was bound.
That's from Andrew Peterson's album, Behold the Lamb of God. And if you've got teens or older kids, or if you just like this genre of music, Peterson works in a lot of biblical and theological content here. I mean, he even sings those begats in Matthew. Now that's hardcore.
Abraham had Isaac. Isaac, he had Jacob. Jacob, he had Judah in his kin. Well, then Perez and Zerah came from Judah's woman Tamar. Perez, he brought Hezron up, and then came.
I know we all have favorite Christmas albums, but this one qualifies as an out-of-the-box Advent resource, in my mind, because it so closely follows the arc of the Christmas story. You could listen to a few of these songs each week as a family, or even take some time after supper to look up the Bible references. Or just put it on repeat as you do your Saturday chores. Might be easier than you think to sing along with the greatest story ever told.
Behold the Lamb of God, who died and rose again. Behold the Lamb of God, who comes to take away our sin.
I Emily Witten.
Today is Friday, November 26th. Good morning. This is The World and everything in it from listener-supported World Radio. I'm Nick Unger.
And I'm Myrna Brown. Today is what they call Black Friday, the kickoff for the Christmas gift-giving season, and the day when retailers step it up with their best offers. A great day also for bargain hunters. And World will not disappoint. We've told you the last few days about a special deal on subscriptions to World Watch, our lowest ever price, $20 for 6 months. Our Black Friday offer is available right now at worldwatch.news.
Well, that's a great offer, and this is too. Maybe you'd like to give a gift of World Magazine. You've got friends, family, your pastor, so we're making it really easy to take care of three people on your list just like that. Three gift subscriptions to World Magazine for just $99. Take advantage today, wng.org/Black Friday. wng.org/Black Friday.
All right. Well, now that we've got our Christmas shopping taken care of, let's say good morning to executive producer Paul Butler. Morning, boss.
Good morning, Myrna. Good morning, Nick. I've got a good collection of listener feedback today.
And I've got a good collection of one mistake belonging to me. So if you don't mind, let me kick off the corrections with a correction, mine, my own, my mistake just on the Monday Money Beat. I made a reference to that big spending bill the House passed, and I was wrong about it by a factor of two. I said it was a $4 trillion tax and spend bill, relying on a faulty memory and failing to double check. It was a $2 trillion tax and spend bill. And this one, I think, Paul, we need to make a note and use this as an example at the next World Journalism Institute about the importance of fact-checking. So,
and not relying on our memory.
Exactly. Totally my fault. No excuse. And I have to say I've had World Journalism Institute on my mind because the one who called this error to my attention was my friend Eric Hoekstra, the president of Dort University, where we hold World Journalism Institute. He gently let me know via text message. Great way to start the day.
Well, our first call today comes from listener David Bond.
I really enjoyed the piece that Julie Spencer did on the table for the Williamson family in El Dorado, Arkansas. But I especially enjoyed the pictures. Thanks for posting those photos as well. What a great story. And thanks for all you do at World. I listen to you every day.
Well, David, on behalf of the whole team, you're welcome. Now, we did hear from a few other listeners who wanted to talk about their tables after that story. One person wrote in that he can seat 24 guests around his. But really, no matter how big your table is or how many chairs fit around it, we hope that you all found some time this week to fellowship with family and friends around a table. Well, next, a call from the far north.
My name is Jared Gable. I'm a float plane pilot in Southeast Alaska. I really appreciate the couple of stories you've done now from Oshkosh. I've yet to make my pilgrimage there, but someday, hopefully. Your most recent story on technology and missions aviation was great. I follow missions aviation fairly closely, yet was unaware of some of the ways tech is helping them. I learned how to fly at Laterno University, and Zach Soles, who you interviewed, was a classmate of mine. Many of my classmates are now missions aviation pilots, and while God didn't call me to that field, he's enabled me to help support them financially over the years while working up here in Alaska. I'm glad y'all have highlighted the work MAF, JARS, Ethnos, and ITEC are doing to further the gospel. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, we will. And Jared sent us a photo that he took in his plane while listening to the program. And I'll tell you this, it's an incredible view. We've included that photo in today's transcript at wng.org/podcasts. Next, we have listener Rick Porter, who reached out to us for the first time after hearing the special episode featuring Emily Witten's interview with Mindy Bells.
I was struck by Emily's thoughtful questions that elicited so much from Mindy.
life lessons from a lunch with Afghan women, respect to her as a mother of four from Afghan men, and sadness that so many in the United States, including in our government, continue to fall for the false apologies of the Taliban. What especially struck me was Emily's prayer at the end of the interview that she cued us in to at the beginning of the interview. It's been a real privilege to be on the receiving end of the wisdom of Mindy Bells for decades. And thank you, Emily, for your thorough interview that brought that wisdom to light.
We do have time for one more call today. It's from Selena Asberg. She emailed the audio recording to us after the most recent Ask the Editor segment. Selena started by saying she's also had concerns about the way Christians disagree with one another, and she offered our team some encouragement, and then she shared some thoughts for you.
And to my fellow listeners, I urge each of us to examine our hearts to see if we only honor opinions we already agree with. Doing so implicitly sets up our own understanding as the standard of truth. We should not be so prideful to assume that anyone who disagrees with us is absolutely wrong. Second, I join my voice with editor Paul Butler to encourage the type of feedback that is constructive, not destructive. We live in contentious times where Christians who have similar principles of obedience to God, compassion to others, and living as salt and light in our hostile world may disagree on facts about the safety or efficacy of vaccines, the wisdom of supporting various politicians or policies, and even an appropriate level of engagement with culture, among many other concerns. World is faithful to biblical inerrancy, steadfast to maintain God-honoring views of sexuality, trustworthy to declare the value of unborn life, and sincere in weekly reminders to gather with other Christians at church. World does not and will not reject these central truths. On the issues that are not central, like vaccines, masks, homeschooling, healthcare, policing, effective compassion, and the like, I encourage us to remember that though we may disagree fiercely about facts and judgment calls, we share a salvation that rests on Christ.
Well, this Sunday marks the first week of Advent. Over the next 4 weeks, Christians around the world will prepare for and reflect on the coming of Christ.
And at the close of each Friday's program, from now till Christmas, correspondent Bonnie Pritchard will guide us through a selection of Advent hymns. And just a quick note here, we're creating a Spotify playlist again this year. We'll keep it updated throughout the month so you can find the music for your own enjoyment. And we've included the link to that in today's transcript at wng.org/podcasts.
Here now is Bonnie Pritchard.
Advent is intended to draw Christian hearts forward in preparation of Christmas Day. But some hymns take our thoughts back in time. From its opening verse, O Come, Emmanuel, does just that, as in this 2016 version by J.J. Heller.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears.
Written in the 4th or 5th century, O Come, Emmanuel is thought to have been sung during Epiphany in preparation for the baptism of new Christians. But by the 9th century, it became part of Advent observances. Englishman John Neal translated it from the original Latin into English. The hymn's 15th century melody, sung in a minor key, underscores the lyric's plaintive cry for God to act on our behalf. To come, order all things, bring comfort, and be our King of Peace. Andrew Peterson's 2019 instrumental version highlights that tension.
Thank you.
As Christians await the completion of Christ's redeeming work, the hymn writer reminds us he will come. The song's chorus, sung in this 2016 version by Salt of Sound, reminds believers that while we wait, we should rejoice. Reporting for World, I'm Bonnie Pritchett.
Well, time now to thank the dedicated team that made this week's programs possible. Kent Covington, Mary Reichard, Katie Galtney, Kristen Flavin, Caleb Bailey, Steve West, Onize Ohikeri, Josh Schumacher, Sarah Schweinsberg, Joel Bells, Cal Thomas, Emily Whitten, and Bonnie Pritchett.
Carl Peets and Johnny Franklin are the audio engineers who stay up late to get the program to you early. Lee Jones is managing editor, Paul Butler is executive producer, and Marvin Olasky is editor-in-chief. And thank you, because your giving makes possible independent Christian journalism. If you've never given before, November's the month for you to become a brand new donor. Please, this month, join the army of more than 10,000 others who give on a regular basis to keep all of our journalism strong and supplied. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." I hope you'll worship with your brothers and sisters in Christ this weekend. And Lord willing, we'll meet you back here on Monday. Go now, in grace and peace.